You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, this is Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 76. And I'm going to start off, Matt, with something that actually led to the beginning of this podcast. So I think we're going back to just after the summer of 2018, when we noticed that there was no MGB for a little while. And you filled in for Mason for a little bit. And then after a while, it was like, well, this is silly. Why don't we just do a podcast? And that's kind of what started off Good Cop, Bad Cop. Episode 76 rolls around. I think this is the first time since that's happened. I know we haven't released an episode every week. We've certainly gone over a year and a half since that's happened. But no MGB this week. And as I posted as Dad, because normally I post as Mason on the Twitter feed, I made it very clear that possibly no MGB next week until attitude of a certain 12-year-old improves. So anyway, now we have Good Cop, Bad Cop. I still get to do one podcast a week at least anyway. So we'll have to see how that goes. A little disappointing. I've talked to you off air. It's been something that's been coming for several weeks. I kept that off Twitter, and it's something that came to a head kind of this weekend. So we will see. We might have an episode next weekend. We might not. I'm not worried about it either way.
As someone who's a big fan of said podcast, and someone who classes said 12-year-old as his surrogate nephew, can I say MGB right now stands for Mason, get better.
We even talked about the possibility of Jackson recording a 205-year-old live just to keep things tied over. And everything, it looked like it wasn't going to be necessary. We watched something Saturday night, and then Sunday things came to a head. And yeah, we weren't going to record. We weren't going to get edited. So I let Chad know it wasn't going to happen, and it didn't. On more positive news, the poll, we had a good vote again. Couple of cracking moments. I couldn't actually decide. I had a couple of ways to go. You went NXT and I went NXT again for the second week. You picked the winner of a tournament. I was wondering whether to go with the winner of a singles title in Braun Strowman, but I went with NXT. I did like Shotzi Blackheart's tank. I knew it wasn't going to win, and it did not. I got 38% of the vote. You got 62% of the vote, but a good turnout again. So I will be doing editing duty this week.
I'm going to explain the reason why I chose that as my best cop moment, Graham, really quickly, if that's all right. I chose it because you didn't like the idea of the Broserweights. When I read through the list of them, you said, I don't like that tag team.
Yes, I would like them better as singles people, definitely. And that still holds. I hope that's not going to be something going forward. They're going to be a long-term tag team.
I see them feuding through the summer. That would be an amazing feud.
That would. Yeah, that would work perfectly.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody for casting the votes, and Graham gets to edit this week. So, excellent.
Good! Bad!
Well then, Graham, it's time to look at the good stuff, and let's have some good cop moments from your good self. Take it away.
Good!
I'm going with good cop, but as I'm looking at this, I'm like, is this actually an unsure moment? I don't know. I'm going to stick with it as a good cop moment. I'm going to talk about Rob Van Dam. Now, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. In specifically, one of the podcasts that I do like to listen to is Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He was on last week. They announced he was going to be back this week for a second part. And actually, he's going to be on for a third part the following week as well. Been really interesting to hear Rob Van Dam's opinions. But main good cop moment from this is a tweet from Rob Van Dam. Many have shared with me that you grew up watching me wrestle on TV. And that strikes an emotional chord with me. Now, right there, that sounds like a perfect good cop moment. You can imagine wrestlers being humbled by that when people say that, hey, they took time out of their day to watch them. And they remembered you doing your moves for WWE and for other organizations as well. At the end, it says, and I just want to say you should have gone outside to play more. Now, I'm leaving it as a good cop moment because I actually think that that's brilliant heel work. I actually don't think that he genuinely thinks that. I really do. But I love the fact that it blurs the lines as well. Even if they are his real thoughts, I'm keeping that as a good cop moment because I don't think it's sure. Is he playing a heel or is he just being a beep, shall we say? But I like that line where it blurs it and it's not quite clear and you're not quite sure. That's why I'm saying, should I put this as unsure? Now, some of the responses in the timeline were absolutely great for this. Yeah, I played outside, jumped off the roof doing 5-star frog splashes on my trampoline. We did, and we made our own wrestling ring with mattresses and bins of the turnbuckles. I'm going to assume that's somebody from England using the word bins. In my defense, when ECW was on TV, it was about 2 a.m. I kind of agree with that. It is kind of tough. If when the time that wrestling's on, even if you're in the States, it's going to be in the evening. It's going to be dark at that time, so you've had all day to get out. So it doesn't necessarily work with what he said. Now, I did tell you about this ahead of time, because I know you told us some of your own wrestling stories. So I said, all right, I'm going to give you a few days ahead of time. This is going to be my good cop moment. I want you to share with one more story. Now, I'm going to ask one more question first, and I'll let you tell your story that you've selected. What exactly are you supposed to say when you meet somebody like Rob Van Dam? Now, we've met some of those wrestlers, and it is kind of a little awkward. Like, when you want to go up to them, you kind of want to say something, but you never quite... Isn't that the most natural thing to say? I love seeing you wrestle when you... What could be more natural than saying, I love watching you, Rob Van Dam, when I was younger? To me, it seems the most natural thing. I'm not sure what else you're supposed to say to him. We've got the giggle. I wasn't expecting that. Did I make a faux pas?
There's a few things that come to mind what I'd say to Rob Van Dam.
Okay.
No, Richard Brooke, after all.
Okay.
Right, now, before I give you my story, Graham, I'm going to address you saying, is it an unsure moment or a good cop moment? It's a good cop moment, because it's Van Dam. Van Dam's opinion was that people should go out in general, like, bro, you should have got out more. That's not him being derogatory, that's a good cop thing. And he knew the response. It wasn't a heel thing, Graham, it was just Van Dam. He's always been the most laid back, you know, the yin and yang guy. He's always been that laid back kind of guy. That wasn't a heel thing, that was just RVD. So that's a good cop moment, sir. 100%. Now, when you told me about this, I said I'm going to need some time to think about this. Now, that's been like 3 days, and I've still got to try and narrow it down. So the question I have, Graham, I'm going to give you 3 choices, okay? 3 to choose from, okay? I'm going to give you a title, and I'll tell you the story that you want. Okay, it can either be about my friends, my brother, or... can't use that one. Or my mother.
As your brother's probably going to listen, and it might possibly be embarrassing, I'm going to save James's blushes. I'm going to pick number 1, because I'm going to guess it could be a little crazier with your friends than possibly with your mother. So I'm going to go with your friends. So I'll take option number 1.
Okay, option number 1. Okay, now, I know I went into, when I gave a story about a friend of mine getting a concussion on MGB once. So I went into that before. I don't think I went into detail about what our friend Trevor once did. Now, bearing in mind, I'm about 5'8 now, okay? I used to be 5'10. Don't ask. I was measured at 5'10 once. I'm now 5'8 and a half. So, you know.
Is that in your literal heels day?
Anyway. There was me, my friend Scott, his twin brother Rob, and our friend Trevor, and it would be us four. Every Friday, pretty much having a hardcore match in Scott and Rob's bedroom. It was mental, ladders, trash cans, everything like that. The best part about that one is that we would wrestle everywhere. We used to play football, and it would end up in a wrestling match, including one time with Rob doing a 5-star frog splash off of the goal mouth. So that was hilarious. Scott and Rob once did a double suplex with me on the beach on Clapton Seafront. That was kind of fun. But Trevor went for a last ride on me once, and that was onto 3 mattresses. Now, these mattresses aren't very thick. Now, it's a work for a podcast, but you know, a podcast about that sort of thicker mattresses normally? These mattresses were like that thick.
Okay, you know, there's we have things called measurements, so you could say like how many inches thick it was or how many feet, or just so people who can't actually see you right now have sort of a concept of what you just showed me.
Okay.
I know you don't like math or anything on maths or anything like that, but just for the benefit of the audience, could you perhaps give us some sort of numerical value?
Okay, if you think about a normal mattress size being around, we'll say about 6 inches deep, okay? We'll say that as an example, okay? It wasn't even a quarter of that for all three of the mattresses. So I wasn't keen. I wasn't keen on being power on being last rided. So I was able to get. I did manage to actually do my one and only Hurricane Rana, the one I would have ever done in my life. And then I locked him in an ankle lock for his for trouble, and he tapped. I'm pretty good with a submission hold, and that's actually where the whole double top, double tap challenge came from.
I'm going to ask you one more time. What's a quarter of six? All right, let's move on.
1.5.
Very good. All right. Tell us about what your good cop moment of the week is that you want to share with us.
Okay. My good cop moment. For those of you in America may not be aware of this fact, so BT Sport in the UK have taken over the rights of WWE TV. Now, that's a big deal. 30 years it's been on Sky Sports, they've moved to BT. However, that is still a pay-to-watch service. However, what we haven't discussed, Graham, is that WWE has also moved to free TV in the United Kingdom. Channel 5 is showing Raw and SmackDown one-hour highlights. Beautifully edited, and it's you know, if you didn't know the 3-hour show, you wouldn't know the 3-hour show. But NXT UK has also moved to Paramount as well, so it airs. So NXT UK is available on normal and on Paramount. So you know, you get the whole lot with BT, and it's still weird. It's still weird seeing it on the BT search bar. Really cool, but a little bit weird because been used to Sky for so long. But the good comment is the last time before before last week, of course, it was after WWE, it was after Good Cop Bad Cop came out. It was weird seeing it on free to air TV again, but so amazing because it just took me back to the Attitude Era, back when Channel 4 back then used to have Armageddon, which was my first proper pay-per-view I watched. Armageddon with Rikishi, Undertaker, Triple H, Angle, Austin, Rock. That was, it made me feel like I was, you know, 15, 16 years old again. And it can only be a good thing because it gets more eyes on the product in the UK, and it's a big slap in the face to the people who, to ITV, who have the AEW deal, who originally had it in that prime spot on a weekend and have now ditched it to, you know, ITV4, which is a companion channel. Yeah, exactly. Graham's giving me a look of, like, incredulity.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
It moved to ITV4. So ITV1 was hosting it. No, not anymore. ITV4 now it is. And it's, you know, very early in the morning, apparently, for other accounts. Whereas 11 till 12, a Saturday and Sunday for Raw and SmackDown on Channel 5. Prime spot before the football starts. So not going to miss nothing. And a part of a deal, I know not everyone's into this stuff necessarily, but Total Divas and Miz and Mrs. is also available on their streaming service. So, yeah, so you haven't got to watch anyone to, because that's on My Five, their equivalent of, you know, their streaming service. And again, free to air. So it's getting more eyes on the product. And this, I don't know if it was BT did a deal or WWE did a deal. I don't know who did the deal on this one, but I applaud Channel 5. It was fantastic to hear, fantastic to see, and long may it continue. As Paul Tully said on the Matt Attack when we had the week off, and you did the Devil's Advocates, Graham, a few weeks ago. Paul Tully said at the time, he was going to take out BT Sport. Doesn't need to now.
Yeah, I got to say, as somebody who watches highlights on YouTube, the quality can be very varied, that's for sure. One of the first things I always do when I check is look for the numbers of thumbs up and thumbs down, because sometimes they're pretty much even, which means, hey, you don't really want to be watching this. So, yeah, it's good that they're doing a quality job with that. I'm kind of surprised it's the same length for a SmackDown and Raw, though, with Raw being a 3-hour show and SmackDown being a 2-hour show. Take out the commercials out from America as well. That, I would think that's pretty much the whole episode for SmackDown, but certainly for Raw, you'd have to take out a little bit more.
They've done a very good job. Right, speed check, Graham. You got anything?
I absolutely do. So I'm going to start my clock now. Braun Strowman winning a singles title for the first time in WWE. I thought that was good to see. I'll be interested to see where they go with that, though. Chris Statlander has a new T-shirt design out on the AEW shop. Tempting to buy it, thought about it, didn't quite do it. Liking to see a couple of wrestlers who are back on the scene. We saw Ruby Riott back this week, and also on the indie scene, Bo Crockett's back as well. So people who listen to Nova Pro and things like that will know that he's back on the scene, thankfully. That's good. Faye Jackson on the We The Indies podcast was very good. I've also heard that Ricky Shane Page is going to be on the Stone Cold podcast. So a couple of indie names there I'll be certainly listening out for. And Primetime Pro. We will be attending that one, and actually it's going to be streamed live now on IWTV as well. So it's good to see they're getting the recognition they deserve. I know Flying V, they've been, I think every one of their events has been streamed live, but it's good to see Primetime Pro also getting that as well.
Excellent, Graham. Excellent. Well under time limit. Right, okay. Time for me to do my speed check. Bang, Killer Cross has signed with WWE. Fantastic to see such... Yeah, Graham's giving me that look. Yes, fantastic. It was revealed on WWE Backstage yesterday as a recording. So WWE Backstage broke the news, and he was reporting, along with someone else whose name escapes my memory just a moment, to the Performance Center. Expect him in NXT very, very soon. Killer Cross, one of the biggest stars in Impact in the last couple of years. So fantastic to see him landing on his feet in WWE. And congratulations to Mike and Maria Kanellis, who their little baby boy has been born. Little baby Carter. Congratulations to Maria. May you come back soon, because I like heel Maria. I like her a lot. So may you come back soon, and congratulations.
And perfectly on the time as well. I noticed we've started to speak a little quicker just to make sure that we do get everything in, and that works just fine.
Good! Bad!
All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
Look the good, little good or bad. Take it away, sir.
Bad!
Seems like we've talked about this multiple times, people being inappropriate on Twitter, and one that kind of stood out this week as well, so I've gone with this before. I like it when people call people out as well. This could have easily gone as a good cop moment if I'd have needed one. Trisha Parker at Jordan Grace. It's going to be an incredibly long week starting today. Send me good vibes. So kind of a bad cop moment straight away. Obviously, she's not having a good time right now. And then this, I'm going to say Muppet, because I'm going to keep it kind of polite for that. I'm not going to mention the person's Twitter handle, even though I have it here. Responded with, need a boyfriend. What a strange thing to put on somebody's timeline there. Strange for multiple reasons. One, totally inappropriate. Two, I think most people know that Jordan Grace has a... Now, I'm not sure if it's boyfriend or husband. I've seen posted a few times it was husband, but I'm still not sure. What a strange thing to post. What makes it even stranger is the fact that his profile says... 5'2", 210 pounds, from Concord, New Hampshire. Like spending time with my daughter. Love my wife. Very cute. So somebody who's married with a kid is posting on Jordan Grace's timeline, need a boyfriend. Oh my goodness. Now, we obviously know that she has a book of people who have posted things to her direct messages that are totally inappropriate, and she's kind of thrown some of those out. And she's also posted some of them so people can see what jerks people are. But yeah, apparently now people have no qualms at all, and they'll just go and post directly on her time. Why would, even if this person was single, why would you think that would be an appropriate response to send me good vibes? Once again, Twitter, the worst side of Twitter showing itself. Thankfully, I think it was a universal, this guy is a jerk, and it was pretty much shut down straight away. But shame that that still needs to even be done.
As someone who can see both sides of an argument normally, there is a... No. This isn't me seeing something on an argument. This is me seeing the two meanings of something. Now, he could either meant you need me as your boyfriend or you need a boyfriend in general. So either way, everybody and the Pope's wife knows that Jordan Grace is married to, I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head here. Jonathan Gresham. Yes, thank you, Graham. He's in my head. I even remember him spiking his head on the ground at Black Label Pro and her jumping out of her chair right in front of us.
Jordan, while she was watching them, yeah.
Yeah, they're married. Even if they're not, they, even if they're not married, I'm pretty sure they actually are married. They're certainly in a very meaningful, deep relationship. Dude, back the Matt Attack off.
All right, I'm going to tell you straight away, there's no uncertainty in this, because, of course, Twitter likes to do research as well, and they checked this guy's timeline and found out he was making similar creepy comments to other people as well. So, some famous, some not
evil,
so
famous. Either way, it was inappropriate, but so.
Yep. All right, tell us what you want to share with us for Bad Cop then as well, Matt.
Dog food.
I'm assuming this relates to WWE, not just a random pet food comment.
Well, on one side, Chris's dog is extremely fussy when it comes to his dog food, as I found out when I was dog seeing this weekend. But no, this is about the six-man tag match on SmackDown. Now, after they basically covered Roman Reigns in dog food a few weeks ago, it's little wonder that Roman would want to get the payback to end the feud finally. Now, I have no problem with that, you know. I have no problem with that part. But, Graham, you've seen the highlights, I'm guessing, of this. I'm guessing you have, yeah? Now, what was the stipulation?
Oh, the loser had to eat dog food, wasn't it? Wasn't that the stipulation?
Correct. Baron Corbin was covering it, had it thrown on him, had it flicked at him. Not one did it go in his mouth.
I did kind of notice that at the time, but I was like, I don't think that's the big deal. They wanted to humiliate him. They got to humiliate
no,
him.
No, that was... is the deal, Graham. And I know that Twitter was with me on this one. So I haven't got quotes to hand, but I have seen mobile pizza, when did he eat it? So I'm like, it kind of got me. You know how much I am for being picky about this sort of stuff, Graham. And to be fair.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So... it's a poor outcome for me. I mean, yes, it ended the feud, but it could have been ended with him actually. He had two Usos. Two Usos could have held his head while they put it into his mouth. They could have done that, and then it would have been fine. And you know what? People would have laughed at that. You'd have laughed at it. I'd have laughed at it. It would have been the perfect way. It would have been gross, don't get me wrong, but it would have been the perfect thing to finish it with. Anyway. Right, Graham. Shall we do a speed check?
Absolutely. All right. I was hoping this was kayfabe the whole time, but it's not. Benjamin Banks broke his pinky this weekend. Golden Pinky Society member, and he's broken his pinky. I know he's feeling really down right now about that. That's a real shame. Also, I was looking to buy some T-shirts. I saw there was a promotion code with it being the Super Bowl. 20% off shirts. I'm like, great. Now, I've been trying to buy wrestling promotion shirts rather than wrestlers specifically. So I found 5 shirts. Were supposed to be $20, so they were $80. When I went to check out, $17 to ship. Like, that's basically everything that I would have gained already. So I didn't purchase the T-shirt store. I talked about before on my open agenda how much it is to ship something. $17, that's absolutely ridiculous for some T-shirts. Within a same country? Nah, I didn't do it. And the last one, I just saw on Impact Wrestling. There was a noose being used in a segment called You Can't Kill the Undead. A little too graphic for me. I didn't like it at all. They kind of cut in and it was arty, but yeah, a little bit too much for me.
Right, Graham. I've got two speed check moments, and the second one may be slightly longer because I need to ask you a question about it. Okay, first one, AJ Styles injured indefinitely. Yeah, they've got no time frame for to return to action. He over-rotated when he took Edge's spear. He said Edge had nothing to do with it. I oversold it, and because of that, I injured myself. There's no current time frame for his return. Originally, they were hoping to be back in 4 to 6 weeks before Mania. There is now no time frame for him to return.
Ooh, that's real bad moment. Yep.
Especially close to WrestleMania, definitely. Right, now the other one is on the 20th of February, LDN Wrestling comes to my hometown. Independent wrestling in my hometown. Fantastic.
Obvious bad cop moment.
Pardon?
Obvious bad cop moment.
I'm getting to that. Now, Graham. I don't care, okay? I don't care. Give me a fine, okay? I don't care. Now, the town hall is where it's being held, Graham. Yeah, time's up. I'm going. I don't care. I'm going to record it. It's fine. Now, it's being held at the town hall, okay? Now, that is 400 meters away, okay? how far do you travel on average to go to independent wrestling, right?
On average, it's between, it depends where, how close we're going, but normally between an hour or 2 hours.
It's not 400 meters away from your front door.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Okay. So I've been waiting for LGBT to come back to my town for a long time. Be great. Can't go.
Why?
Because I've got a round table thing scheduled for the same night. So I can't do it. I can't go. I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed.
Cancel the other thing?
I can't.
Okay.
Oh. This has been booked for ages. I can't. So, I can't.
I see why it's a bad cop moment. Bad cop moment over 2 minutes. I knew you wouldn't stick to the rules.
So normally I do, but this one is stopped. Anyway, speed check done.
Bad cop jail for you, guy.
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good! Bad!
Right, Graham. As Jackson likes to say, unshort, sir.
All right, I got a quote from Carl at This Is CM Barnes. Love AEW wrestling, but at JR's barbecue has got to go. An absolute embarrassment on commentary. Gets a competitor's name wrong every single month. Called Isaiah Cassidy Kennedy about 5 times in one match and couldn't even remember MJF's first name. Get rid, #AEW. Now, the reason this is in an unsure cop moment is the response to this. I think we've talked a little bit, probably more off-air than on-air, about JR's commentary. His response was, do all 102 of your followers feel the same way, Carl? Now, I'm keeping this as unsure for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not sure, JR, that's the right way to respond to this. Why would you go for the number of followers that a person has? That doesn't necessarily make their views any more valid just because they have lots of followers. Our account has 4,000 followers. I don't think we interact with all 4,000 people necessarily, whereas on MGB, I probably have closer to 2,000, but I certainly interact with a lot more of those people. Bob Hazelwood responded, I respect JR and love his work, but I absolutely hate when someone calls out the small number of followers someone has when disagreeing with them. The number of followers doesn't make any opinion any more or less valid. If it did, Katy Perry would be Solomon. I like that. I thought that was good. Anyway, JR responded, relax, official Bob, just having fun. It is Twitter after all. Now, a few people were commenting about the Carl's initial tweet. He said, I'll save this one just for you, Matt. You are the Murray Walker of wrestling. He was the best, and he was always wrong. JR responded, LOL, thanks. So they're basically saying, it's okay to make a mistake here and there. Sometimes it can be a good thing. Somebody else responded, I think at JR's barbecue would do much better in a more controlled environment. He does very well in sit-down interviews and could take his time to get in-depth with the characters, like the one he did with Jungle Boy and Mankind back in the day. And his response to that was, nope, I'm belligerently uncontrollable. Thanks for the feedback. Somebody else said, he's kidding, right? I almost spit out my coffee laughing at that clown. JR's barbecue is one of the greatest announcers in any sport ever. He is the reason I started to watch and become a fan of pro wrestling. So, unsure for a couple of things. One, the reaction to it, going for the person's number of followers rather than the actual comments itself. And also Twitter itself being unsure, as in some people still thinking that JR's a very good commentator and other people seeming to think that he's out of his depth a little bit. So that was my unsure one for the week.
I totally get that, to be fair. I totally get it. I do agree, though, with them, to be fair. JR maybe should stay away from my microphone. They're the reason why it's called a retirement. And no disrespect, but Murray Walker, yeah, he got things wrong. But, you know, he was never, like, right in the first place. So it's not like you can, like, compare the two. Murray Walker, when he passed away, I will be inconsolable. No offense, when Jim Ross passed away, I'll be sad, but I'm not going to be inconsolable.
Now, I'm going to ask you, even though it doesn't really fit into this segment, do you have a favorite Murray Walker moment?
That's like asking me to pick between my nephews and my nieces.
All right, I'll tell you one while you're actually trying to think of one, or to try and narrow down the 20 that you have in your head right now. Now, I might be getting this slightly wrong, but I know that I'm going back a long time when I used to watch Grand Prix. Nigel Mansell, he's got like a big bump on his head, and he tries to like point to it and actually pokes him in his head, and he's going like, ow. So I thought that was hilarious. That's one of my favorite Murray.
That's pretty good. Like, Nigel, did you take your hat? You got a massive bump on your head. Oh, I'm so sorry. Finger right in the middle of it. Yeah. There's the first race I ever saw, which was Damon Hill winning the Japanese Grand Prix. Like, Damon Hill wins the Japanese Grand Prix and the World Championship, and I've got to stop because I've got a lump in my throat. That one's right up there. But for me, it was the start of the 1998 Belgian Grand Prix with a massive crash. Half the field was involved in it. And he said, oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is quite appalling. This is the worst Grand Prix start I have ever seen in the whole of my life. And it was brutal. And then the same race, when Schumacher drove in the back of Coulthard, he said, oh, God! Because it was out of nowhere. And he literally, like, because we thought it could be much, much worse. How Schumacher didn't kill himself, I have no idea. But Murray Walker is plastered across so many memories for me. It's hard to pick a few out, but there's two.
All right, go ahead. Give us your onshore moment for the week.
The WWE wellness policy, Graham.
Okay.
People have been suspended recently. Some apparently not officially. Some saying that they are, some saying they're not. They're really saying some are, they're saying some aren't. Andrade has failed his wellness policy. Apparently not. Some people say he's saying he didn't. They're saying he is. Samoa Joe is apparently suspended due to a wellness policy violation. They say he's not. Rey Mysterio apparently has failed a wellness violation. We haven't heard that for certain yet. Primo failed a wellness policy because he wouldn't fly back to America and actually take the wellness test. He refused to come back for it. He was in Puerto Rico because he wasn't being used. That's by the by. The reason I'm unsure, because I'm not sure about this policy. The reason why I'm not sure about it is it was brought in after the death of Eddie Guerrero, a man who I will always miss and a man who a lot of people aspired to be. He put so much energy into so much wrestling, and Sasha Banks obviously tributes to him on a regular basis. Obviously Mysterio and Chavo and before what happened with him, Benoit as well. There was so much love for that man, and WWE wanted to honor wanted to make sure that everyone looked after themselves. I mean, it saved MVP's life because they did something because of wellness policy. It's fantastic. But one thing I discovered when I was looking this up, because I was looking at things that I'm unsure about in general, and yeah. WWE's wellness policy does not apply to part-timers.
Oh.
If you're a part-time competitor, you do not have to apply.
What's the definition of a part-time employer? Are we talking about the local talent when they bring them in for, like, jobbing?
Brock Lesnar, for example.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Brock Lesnar, when he failed his UFC doping thing, and I can't be sued for that because he failed a drugs test for UFC. Yeah.
Yep.
WWE doesn't apply to WWE because he's not part-time. He's not a full-timer. Back then, he certainly wasn't anyway. So if you're not on a full-time WWE contract, you do not have to submit yourself to wellness testing.
Wow, I did not know that side at all. I actually heard an interesting stat about Brock. He's been on every show so far this year. Like, wow. Considering he's missed, like, months at a time, the fact that we're into February, we're actually into the second month of the year, and he's attended every show so far, that's on his brand, obviously. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, yeah. New contract, maybe. Maybe he is committing full-time WWE, maybe he is. And to be fair, I don't know how that policy applies now. I just know from that's when it was back in the period of UFC ban. It may have changed. I don't know in general, but either way, it's a little bit disconcerting because, like, if you've got a wellness policy, it's better to look after and protect everybody. If you aren't full-time, then, say, for example, I was to be able to get myself in a massive shape, become a wrestler, something, and I was able to go and do a part-time contract, I wouldn't have to do wellness testing. If you're an athlete, you should be doing it regardless. because any people who don't want to be tested are people who've got something to hide.
I would agree. Now, I certainly don't need a minute for my speed check, but I did see one thing that was a little unsure to me. I watched the quick highlights of Impact. They show you the top five moments. Three moments in a row at the end of matches, they had somebody interfere at the end. So the match had finished, somebody came into the ring and took some part in the finale of the match, or after the match had finished. The North came in, they wanted to interfere with another tag team. Madman Fulton came in, Ace Austin came in a Tessa Blanchard match, because she's got a rivalry now with Ace Austin. Seems a bit too much. I'm not 100% sure, but when you're showing the five top moments and three of them involve interference, I know that's exciting to watch. I'm not quite sure what's overkill on something like that, but to me, it just looked like it was a little too much. What's the right amount of... You obviously need some interference because it sets up rivalries, but it seemed like for a two-hour show, that was kind of a lot.
Does sound like TNA back in the late 2000s.
All right. So as you had 2 minutes on the last one, you need 0 seconds on this one. Would that balance it out?
I've got no speed check.
All right, I guess I'll grant you that then.
Good! Bad!
All right, the Devil's Advocate. I have no idea how we did this last time, so it's only for fun now anyway. So I'm going to give you the choice. Would you like to go first, or would you like to go second?
I want to go first, Graham.
All right, okay. Well, you kind of mentioned this, and I kind of deliberately avoided it. So, with Zelina Vega accompanying Angel Garza to the ring this week, the only proper thing for the Royal Rumble winner to do is to forego her WrestleMania match and become manager for her man Andrade when he returns.
Absolutely. Charlotte Flair needs to follow in her father's footsteps and become a manager to someone who is by far superior to themselves. And let's face it, Andrade is clearly the person that's going to be pushed far more than Charlotte. She's only won 10 championships, doesn't need any more. So she should be a manager to Andrade as soon as she comes back. Wasn't too bad.
Luckily, it's not for a poll this week. I'm going to do better than that. All right, what you got for me, Matt? Bring it on. I'm going to start talking.
I've done something rather clever, Graham.
Ooh. Okay.
Now,
after 76 episodes, it's probably about time, so go on.
Oh, you're going to regret saying that, Graham. Right. Now, for people who don't know, I mentioned on Twitter, I was a guest on Mining for Mayhem this past week. It'll be out in a couple of weeks' time. I did give BJ, the host of it, find him Aussie Lucian, he had a go at a Devil's Advocate. So, because I thought I'd haven't done it with people for a while, apart from your good self, so I figured I'd let him have a go.
Oh.
So he was good at it. But then he said, can I give you one? I'm like, sure. So I did one. And I was like, huh.
Do you remember? I could use that on Graham this week.
I'm better than that one, Graham. Prick your ears up, young man.
Hi, everyone. This is BJ from the Mining for Mayhem podcast, also at Aussie Lucian on Twitter. But more importantly today, I've got a devil's advocate for you, Graham. Graham, when I say I mean you. And your devil's advocate goes like this. I believe that when Jeff Hardy got rehired, it was one of the biggest mistakes that WWE made.
Go.
Yeah, well, of course. We know all the issues that he's had. Obviously, WWE's trying to set a much more positive tone now. They've addressed things like with the wellness issue. Obviously, this is something that's a reoccurring theme. Something with drink driving is something you've got to take a lot more seriously. This is not something that's happened once. It's multiple times. We know that alcohol is one of the worst things that can happen. And yes, they should have made a stand for it. And they didn't need to hire him back. Whew, that's not bad for 20. That's almost the same one you gave me with Matt Hardy, like multiple episodes again. So I had a chance to practice a little bit. That was almost. Now, was it an inspiration from the episode when I was too sick and Mason did a devil's advocate? Did that come into your mind at all when you were doing that?
It did remind me you'd done it. Yes.
That's nice, though. I like having guest ones like that. That's good. Yeah, I think that's perfect. And I'm glad that you gave them to other people as well. I know ones you've done before with like people like Blade Job and RJ and Mags in the day as well. They're always entertaining to hear. And I think Benjamin Banks would be one as well. I don't think he quite got the idea, but sometimes they can be entertaining when people don't quite get the idea as well.
peek behind the curtain for that one. Dad took four takes with Benjamin Banks. But...
All right. Once again, the only thing I do want to mention is obviously we're going to announce the episode on Twitter and that. Keep an eye out for the poll. It normally comes out Saturday or Sunday, depending on when we think of our good top moments. And yeah, go ahead, vote for us, decide who's going to do the episode. It was really difficult. I really wanted to post something about Shotzi this week because I thought that tank was so cool, but I can't because that gives away which side I'm actually backing. So I had to stay away from that, but that's perfectly okay.
Right, that's it from us then this week, guys. Graham and Matt, we're out of here.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/